This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We cheer them as we welcome them home from Afghanistan or Iraq. We cheer when they're on the Jumbotron at a Red Wings game when they're home on leave. But what is really there for our troops when it's time for them to make the transition from military to civilian life? Sherman Powell is with us. He served in the Army from 1995 to 2006, first as an infantry officer and then as a tank officer. He was among the first veterans to return home from the Iraq War. From 2006 to 2008, he was part of the Armed Forces Association at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. It's so good to have you with us.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
11 years in the Army. I'm wondering, before you left, when you were still in the Army, but you knew that it was the time was approaching, what were your worries and concerns about going back to civilian life?
To be honest, one of my biggest concerns was that I might not quite stay in the best physical shape of my life when I didn't have to wake up at 4:30 or 5 every morning and go work out every day and do all those things that you have to do just without even thinking about it in the service. More importantly, though, I was concerned about the loss of a community, the loss of a sense of teamwork and shared purpose, and doing important and difficult things with like-minded people. I felt at the ripe age of 34 that I had achieved all of my life's ambitions. I'd gotten to do great things in difficult environments in numerous places around the world, both Korea, Iraq, and in numerous locations in the U.S., and just achieved tremendous results. But once that was over, and I knew as it was coming to a close that it would be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to ever replicate that environment, that sense of teamwork, shared purpose, shared ideals, and shared values, and it might be a little bit tougher going forward.
Once you were out, was it strange? Was it hard?
I wouldn't say strange or hard. You know, again, there were a lot of it we knew to expect.
What did you know? What did you expect?
We knew it would be awfully quiet. We knew that the level of intensity and the level of constant exertion, constant awareness of your environment,
vigilance.
Constant. Sure, sure. Yeah. The constant need to look at your plan for the day, to synchronize your plan with everybody around you, to adapt to and integrate all of the changes that happen throughout the course of a day or even the course of a few hours or a few minutes. That just level of intense exertion and energy and concentration was going to vanish overnight, and it did. Again, it's like when the Super Bowl ends and you turn off the TV, there's just this sudden silence.
Now, you came to the Ross School of Business and you were part of this group, the Armed Forces Association, which was the predecessor of the SVA, the Student Veterans Association, which I understand began at the University of Michigan and then spread nationwide. How important can a group like the Student Veterans Association be to someone who's reentering and is pursuing education?
Sure, immensely important. It can be vitally important. And for one basic reason, which is that when a veteran leaves the service after 2 years or 5 years or 10 or 20, whatever the amount of time might be that they served, and they suddenly find themselves on a college campus, which is the case with people who started and who now are members of the SVA, it's not that it's a difficult environment. It's not that it's dangerous. It's not that it's hostile really in any way. But the difficulty that some people have is the fact that there is not a sense of community. You are surrounded by people who are in some ways complete strangers, in many ways complete strangers, and who have very, very different backgrounds, very different life experiences. Not that you're better than them. In the case of undergraduates, for example, the average undergrad veteran is maybe 3 or 4 years older than the average undergrad who's not a veteran. And so, you know, there's an age difference and there's a life experience difference. And so it can be a little bit tough to find the basis to start basic relationships. And so that's the challenge I think a lot of veterans face. They find themselves scratching their heads at some of the things they see and some of the behavior. It's just different than what they have been around for many years. Again, I'm not trying to say.
Yeah, you're not making a judgment call here.
That's
but
right.
The fact that you were shot at Fallujah is a different base of experience from somebody who was not and who was several years younger and who kind of went from high school right into college. It's just different.
For sure, for sure. In the grad school environment, it's a little bit different because there are just so many different backgrounds that people come from and so many paths they take before winding up at grad school that you're one of many people who has a very, very different background, an unconventional background. But again, for the undergrads, I think it's more pronounced, the difference. Mm-hmm. And so what they are looking for, what they were looking for was a group of like-minded people, a community with whom they could share and reflect upon their experiences in a common language without having to explain everything from square one. and sort of process those experiences and think about how they're going to adapt and pursue the rest of their lives.
So I'm interested because I think you're in a good position, Sherman Powell, to decide what's working and what isn't as vets transition into civilian life. You did it in the mid-2000s, but I'm wondering, what's different for vets today? Is there more in place? Are things better, do you think, than when you were making the transition, support system and training, or are there deficits?
There's definitely more in place now than there was 6 or 8 or 10 years ago. When I arrived in Ann Arbor for the first time in the summer, fall of 2006 and walked into the VA hospital, for instance, I was practically the first person they had ever seen or heard from in the OIF-OEF generation. I mean, there was practically nobody there who knew what to do. And I had to ask, you know, the basic questions. Hi, I'm here. Where do I go to get the ID card? Where do I go to sign up for one thing or another that I'm supposed to do?
So you really were on the vanguard of the Iraq vets coming back.
Correct. Correct. I may not have been the very first, but it certainly felt like it. Mm-hmm. And by just a year or two later, what had started out as a trickle had turned into a flood. And that's when you started to hear about things like the backlog in disability claims and things like that. The GI Bill, the post-9/11 GI Bill, for instance, I think was passed around 2008 timeframe. And that all really started from scratch. All of the work that went into that and all the other programs that are in place now started from practically nothing around 05, 06 timeframe. So it was interesting to be there at the very beginning of that.
Let me ask you, what do you think is the single most important thing we, and I mean all of us as well as our government, can do to help veterans make that good, successful transition back to civilian life?
Well, I don't know necessarily that I could speak to that as much as I can speak to the micro issues, the things I saw and experienced during my transition home. As a grad school student, as a business school student, it was really, really nice to show up on campus and in my first week or two at the business school, start going to meetings with this group that we call the Armed Forces Association. That was neat to be able to get together and maybe get a drink or two or five and tell war stories and talk about the things we saw and did. You know, where were you when this happened? Oh, well, I was over here. Well, that's neat because I was right there. You know, I'm amazed we didn't run into each other. You know, that type of thing.
And that's what was happening at the VFW halls after World War II and after Korea and, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. We helped each other in a lot of ways. We reviewed resumes. We did mock interviews because the overwhelming focus of the business school is getting your resume straight and getting ready for interview season, which starts almost immediately, and getting your summer job and then getting your full-time offer and moving on onwards and upwards in the world. And that's what the business school is built around. And so as a community, we were immensely helpful to each other in that regard. We got offers from Amazon, from Google, from Procter & Gamble, from all the biggest consulting firms and Wall Street banks. And again, as business school veterans, we succeeded tremendously, thanks in large part to one another. On the undergraduate side, it was a completely different story, a night and day difference.
You've said to us that the single most important thing people can do for vets is job prep and job interviewing training.
Sure.
And this is before they leave?
Correct. Before they leave the service.
The service? Or just have it available at some point?
Yeah. It's really, really tough to do that kind of thing as you're on your way out of the door because many people who are leaving the service are in a rush to do so. You know, your entire life is turning upside down, and you kind of want to get through it as quickly as you can. Get signed out of the base, get your uniform off, get moved out of there and on to the next thing. And so most people I know who were leaving the service didn't really spend a lot of time lingering. Once you get to a college campus, though, if that's what you've chosen to do with yourself after you leave the service, you've got time. You've got between 2 and 4 years to sit down and think about what your values are. Think about the things you care about. Think about starting a family and doing all those things that you want to do in your early, mid, late 20s. And you've got a couple of year time frame before the real world takes over and before the immediate financial pressures and crises that you experience in the real world start to define you. And so you've got a little bit of a window there to do something with yourself, to position yourself for the future. And again, 6 or 8 years ago, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, when the SVA was first getting started, there was absolutely nothing in place to help people take their experiences, take their accomplishments, the equipment they worked with, the things they were a part of, and actually put those onto a resume and shape those and mold those into a 5 or 10 word bullet that anybody, any civilian, any corporate recruiter or hiring manager can instantly read and understand and make sense of. There wasn't anything like that. Even now, 8 or 10 years later, it's still a challenge, I think. We hold resume workshops for the student veterans group. We do a lot of things like that, but there still isn't as much of a structure in place to help these folks who have done great things around the world at a very young age in huge positions of responsibility to take that experience and translate it and market it effectively to get them to the next step, to get them to the next stage.
Sherman, thank you so much for sharing your story with us and talking with us.
Thanks for your time as well.
Sherman Powell is a veteran of 11 years in the Army. He now runs an Ann Arbor-based startup called Army Property.